message this morning talking about this Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We tried to cover a lot of territory, and from what I've heard from some of you, we covered some territory. But everything that we're wanting to say is, we were talking about that lion, but there are two sides to that. We went over a lot this morning that in the natural, you will not disturb a lion, you won't poke a stick at him. We were saying that he's a beautiful animal, but behind that mane is a very ferocious predator. Jesus is beautiful, but I will tell you, when it comes down to his people, he is a defender. He is a protector. He is a devourer of our enemies. I want to pick that up here tonight with kind of where we left off this morning. And that is that when Jesus came the first time, he came to a lowly manger. He was declared by John to be the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, John has this vision. I guess that's what it was. He saw a scroll that had seals on it. John, none greater than John, but he wept. That's in the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. But John wept for one reason. That book, those seals, there was no man worthy to break the seals, to open the book. There was no man worthy tonight to do what God is going to do. But he is going to do it. He is going to finish that work that he started. It's going to require power. It's going to require strength. It's going to require what man has in a limited capacity. It's going to take the unlimited power of God. When Jesus came the first time, he was born of a virgin. They had to put him in a manger, no place for him in the field. But that's not the end of the story. Because he lived for 33 years on this life, in this earth. Evil men took him, and they nailed him, spiked him, pierced him. He looked at them and let them know, you don't take this life, I'll lay this life down. He knew that he came to do the will of the Father. He knew that as the Lamb of God, they would take away the sins of the world, that he was in the will of God. But after his birth, there came another event in his life. And when that event took place, it was the solitude of the manger. He came up crying like a lion. I am he that was dead. I'm alive forevermore. He came the first time, but he has also come as the living power of God. We used a little simple analogy this morning. If you go to a zoo, then when the feeders of those lions and all the other beasts, when they come out, when they put that food out, you better not be around that food when that lion goes to get it. You know why? Because that food belongs to that lion that is his. God has killed him. And every time that the devil, we use how that Bible rose up against fear man, against Zechariah. But every time the devil rose up, the lion of the tribe of Judah will come to the protection and the defense. in the natural, the truth belongs to that line. In the spiritual, we, the children of God, we belong to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And his right hand will give him the victory. I don't care what anyone says. When Jesus, who did not begin preaching till he was 30 years old, I don't know. I've never seen anyone portray Jesus as raising his voice when he preached. I don't know how he preached. It didn't matter what the man was. Because he said the words that I speak unto you, they were power and their life. It made no difference where he was, if it was in the natural. When he began to proclaim the gospel, I don't believe it was like a lion. When he opened his mouth, he roared it. You know why? Because, well, I'm not talking about necessarily loudly, but I'm talking about with authority and with power. And everything that was in that crowd that heard this line of the tribe of Judah was shaken. They were shaken. They may have shaken it off, but they were moved. They were shaken by the power of God. They were shaken by the word of God. Everything that Jesus does is in power, and there is nothing that can stand against it. The words I speak in your spirit. John knew what that was. He was a man that ate locusts and wild honey. But he came out of that wilderness. He said, there's one coming after me who's too righteous. I'm not worthy to unleash. And he it is that's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Peter then, Apollo was a persecutor of the church. But when this line roared on that road in the presence of Paul, all he had to say was, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? A light sound and a voice is heard, and that great man, Paul of Tarsus, become Paul, he was converted. He was changed all by the roar of this lion. Who are you to be kicking against the prince? Who are you to be persecuting my church? Everyone was terrified of him. Who are you that you're calling causing all this trouble? I believe somewhere in that, whether we want to accept this as an explanation or not. Somewhere in that, there was being heard a growl. Hello? God calls his enemy at times to hear the sound of mighty armies. They heard the sound of multitudes. Remember the four leprous men? They were eaten up with leprosy. Their flesh was falling off of their bodies. They said, what are we doing sitting here? If we sit here, we're going to die. They knew their condition. The camp of the enemy, sitting on the outside, waiting to take the spoils of victory without even having to fight. Four men with leprosy, flesh falling off of their feet, off of their bodies. They began to move against the city, and it says, God caused them to hear the sound of a mighty army. They threw everything down and turned around, began to run away from the sound that they heard. John, I mean, Paul saw light that no one else saw. Heard a voice that no one else heard. He was a new man. But whatever he heard was enough to change his life forever. When Jesus looked at those scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, he said, you're scribes, you're serpents. praying that God will hurry. But they didn't hear why you were listening to me tonight. Because when he opened his mouth, the only thing that came out was the word of God. And he knew that God was standing behind every word that he said. And everything he declared is not the way it's going to be. This line of the tribe of Judah, with the word that he spoke, when he spoke to those that were diseased and sick, their leprosy, their sickness, their infirmities, their issues of blood, their blindness, whatever it was, when this line of the tribe of Judah, he came the first time as one, then my knees moved. And God, the shedding of blood, he sent that blood. He's the one that died to death. But there's got to be more than that. Because everything that he purchased through the shedding of his blood, souls, sicknesses, himself bore our sicknesses and our diseases. All that he had to do was say, "Who touched me?" That's all that's needed. Who touched me? I felt the virtue go out of me. You know why? Because of the line of Judah. He has gotten the victory over sickness, disease, evil luck, the powers of hell, the powers of Satan. I showed you this morning how that in the book of Genesis, what was it? 49, 29. I always look over here because you almost take me. 49, 10, see what I'm talking about. Judah, of the seed of Jacob, he was not the firstborn, he was the fourth. We read all the scriptures this morning, and then we preach upon it. That out of your loins, Judah, out of you will come the Messiah. He's going to be born of Judah. The devil didn't like it, but the devil can't stop. The devil doesn't like anything that God is going to do. Sickness is one thing. Forgiving sins is something else. But I want to tell you, when you're dead, you're dead. You can walk around lost. You can walk around with a disease, but when you're dead, you're dead. This line of the tribe of Judah not only saved my soul, not only did he heal my sicknesses, but he has also promised me, if you go by the way of the grave, I'm going to raise you up first. And then everything else is going to be told to them. There is something spectacular. There is something wonderful about this. At the same time, this lion was a gentle, humble man. Jesus quietly and humbly carried out his ministry and doing everything that the Father had called him to do. Isaiah 53:7 says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted. That he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As they see done before his children, it's done. So he opened not his mouth. This humble, compassionate, loving Christ gave himself to the slaughter. Evil men nailed his hands, put that crown of thorns on his brow, pierced his side. I wish I could get him that I can remember the sermon, Brother Washington. For when they pierced his side, there came forth a man, blood and water. You should have heard that message. You should have heard the Bible says not a bone of his body would be broken. How that they pierced his hands and never broke a bone. How that when they crucified a criminal in that day, every one of them, the last act against that body was to break their leg while they were yet living. When they went to where Christ was on the cross, when they went to break his leg, he had given up the ghost. Not a bone of his body will be broken. Somebody clap your hands for Jesus and say hallelujah. This land, or this land, gave his life to the Lord. The Lamb gave his life to the Lamb. Death could not be hold, could not withhold it. Make liars out of those guards and tell them when Jesus is not there. Tell everybody that his disciples came and stole him. I remember when the Lord said this. If you were asleep, how do you know his disciples come and stole him? Why think you the living among the dead? He's not here. That Lamb has paid the price, shed his blood. But you've got something in your hand now. That all power in heaven and in earth is given unto him. The Lamb is the tribe of Jesus. I was telling you about that program after the message, and I was well prepared. Not maybe well prepared, but it wasn't me. I was watching this documentary. Just happened to be online, and I just thought, well, let me just say it. They said, it's a proven fact that the lion goes down again. That's amazing. That when some predator, some enemy of the lion, moves into the territory where a lion is, a lion will give one word for every number of the enemy that is in that encounter. That's powerful. But another thing, they say the roar of a lion can be heard a great distance. Maybe even some few miles. I remember the first time I was going to go to Africa with Brother Potts. He said, I always had it in my mind that if I go to Africa, the one who finds it after me, I'm going to climb the tree. You remember him telling that? Sure you do. And he was serious. He said, I got to Africa. And in that tree was a lion. They were saying that a lion roars for various reasons. One is to mark his territory. That's what he does. He marks his territory. But he also uses it to call other lions to come into the prophet. This is what Hosea the prophet meant. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When men shall roar, then the children shall come. That's Hosea the prophet. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But I'm going to tell you what, this time for the church is the Lord. Mark our territory. Identify that which is ours and tell the devil you can't have it. It's time to call others that they may come to be a part of this great victorious army. Let's go for just a moment and ask this question. Are you worrying about tomorrow? Are you struggling with guilt? Is there something that is troubling you? Are you lamenting satanic attacks against your life? The Lord calls out for darkness. I told you this morning that there is an analogy between the natural and the spiritual. We talked about it this morning. Jesus is called the bright morning sun. He's called the Lord. He's called the King. He has many names, but he's also the Lion. When we hear all of the characteristics of that Lion, you see, Jesus has given us these earthly examples because we can relate to them. We can understand them. Right now, we see in part and we understand in part. And when we get to glory, we will see everything perfectly clear. So, he uses the life of this Lion to let us know what goes on in our own world and the struggle when we are under attack. When we get to heaven, it's only going to be 30 minutes of silence. You know, 30 minutes of silence. I can show you in the book of Psalms where God said, when you play an instrument before me, you play it loudly. You play it loudly. All of this talk about it's too loud. Play loudly with skill. Try it fast. Jesus is coming back to this earth with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God for the last 2 nights, Friday and Saturday. My grandson's moving trouble to watch it back all the time. When we were last night, they had a brass choir. A brass choir. I don't know how many was in that number. I couldn't even begin to guess. 50, 60, I don't know, maybe more. When Dr. Deepin got up there and raised his hand and dropped his hand to start that music, now I'm telling you something about if you are the first to not know us, there's nothing there but trombones and trumpets, loud instruments. I'm not making any appeal for the flesh, but I will tell you this. That Lion's roar, it didn't say it's a squeak. It didn't say he's going to find a way to get his message over you. He's going to speak with clarity. He's going to speak loudly. I believe that the roar of that Lion is what it's going to take to raise the dead. When you are there in that coffin, laying at the bottom of the sea. Nothing but ashes having been done. Do you think it's not going to take a mighty power to bring those ashes together? To bring that body together? To bring a resurrection? Myself, and I don't care how it actually is, but let me take a little leeway in interpretation. There's going to come a cry. They're going to say, you want to cry? Why are you going to cry? Come here to me. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come here to me. The roar of the Lion that has overcome death. The roar of the Lion that has overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Is going to speak in a victorious voice. Come up hither. Come up hither. Your labors are over. Your trials are done. The devil has done everything that he could to beat you down and to run you over. But I'm roaring. It's coming out of the night. It's coming out of the grave. It's coming out of the depths of the sea. It's coming from everywhere. Behold the Lion. I don't think we know what that is. Got a question for you. Can you imagine what it would be like to walk around as a lion, live as a lion, the natural, stalk and pray? All that goes with it. Let me read to you from the book of Micah. Micah chapter 5. Are you with me? Micah chapter 5. Still getting ready now. Did you want to know what he was still saying? Micah chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a diamond among the beasts of the forest. Now, what is going on? Judah was Jacob's son. And out of Judah is going to come the Messiah. Read it again. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest. As a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he goes through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can be. Verse 9. Thy hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversary, and all thy enemies shall be cut. Did you get that, John? I would think this was shouting time. Read it again. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest, and as a young man among the people. You know what he's saying? You are a lion. You are a lion. Now, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But we have victory. When the devil attacks David, God's going to raise up a standard against the devil. When he comes against Dwight, Jimmy, whoever they are, God is going to raise up a standard. Oh, I can think of so many things. You remember when the prophet had prophesied and the heavens were sealed? Elijah was accused of being the man that brought all the trouble. No one for 3 years. Everything's done. I don't know how many words you lost. I don't remember now half what it was. From Clermont to Jezreel. There were no one. God told him, Elijah, it's going to run. He goes to Ahab. He says, Ahab, I've got some news for you today. You better get off of this mountain. This one's ready. Ahab's got all of the horses. He's got the boots, the scriptures. He's got the chariots. He's got everything. The man of God is on his feet. He's got that lion on the inside. I can just see Ahab cracking the whip over those horses. I mean, the crisis that they learned. All of the practical. Who's in it? Elijah, governor, to him of this woman, sir, his role, and he began to run. What was it? 30, 40 miles. He outran horses and chariots. He never got short winded. His feet never got sore. He never got tired. Why? Because the spirit of that lion had entered that man's life. And he's more than a conqueror. He's more than a conqueror. And it's all because of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Somebody clap your hands and worship God. Something in our lives that is not pleasant. We are ashamed. And if you allow the devil, who is the accuser of the devil, will come around and torment you. He will come around and torment you every time the devil comes in and says, do you remember this morning? The lion goes out his approval. The blood of my son has purged and cleansed every thing. Did you know that you have the right to tell the devil to get behind you? Get behind this people. Let me read you another verse of scripture. And I see that you did not write down the youth. It's in Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Slaying with a loud voice, and it is again the Bible. Slaying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever. This Christian experience, no matter how much, and God will never put more on you than you're able to repay. No matter what you have to go through, you will be worth it. You will be worth it by the resources you can. This line that we put this morning's message in this in the week, number 186. The Bible tells us we live in powers. He said, if I don't come to this thing, sure. No flesh is going to be given. There were people here this morning that did not come back to life. I gave you the government statistics that not only you men that they have under arms that have been prison, 500,000 away, not more than that, 1 million more, 1 million for free. 25 million people live in Seoul, South Korea. If Kim Jong-un released this one weapon, nuclear or strategic, whatever, it takes less than 60 seconds to get them. That one shot, less than 60 seconds to reach that 25 million. 150,000 are Americans, 28,500 military men, I can't get there. I'm going to wait 60 seconds. But that's not a way to stop. China, America. Now, be honest, I do not know what we have in our arms to take something like that out without turning it on. I don't know. There are a lot more. Brother Nobles, can I tell what you told me one story? He worked in the defense situation with top players. You know, he's retired from this. But he told me when she met that they have weapons that it's like when a missile has been launched or whatever. It's like two bullets. If I understood it right, it will not be the explosion, but you can take two missiles and they can come together. Space, point to point. I don't know what all this is. I'm sure that these last two failed missile launches from North Korea have looked, I think, that we probably blew that up. Do you believe that? That's what they're saying. That Bible. When they launch it, we can blow it up. I don't know what we have, but you are wrong if you are dependent upon man. This thing is coming down to where if the line doesn't move, it's going to come great destruction. On the ground, I don't see as many of them tonight. I think about these letters and letters, these newborn babies coming down. I heard yesterday that a squad in Syria has bombed 23 hospitals
the next month of April. That's good. You understand? God sees every difficulty. God takes an account of every deal. And when that line rolls against the assault, you can join us. And we are the best for this world. I believe that God is going to war with that mighty war for one purpose. His people. His people. His people. I'm quoting some of the words of the song this morning. The good news comes one day. Live for death. Do not fear the raging waters. Trust in me and trust the story. It goes on to say, that's my child. In the midst of it. I look around this room and I am under a divine warning to God. Would you better say, if you have a millstone tied about you, you can't see what it's seen and to the family of God. We're on a short time. We're on a short time. All the hate when you're music. I remember when we there's a pendulum that always preach. Before we out of the park, I don't know what happened, but remember her name I've not seen in 25 years. I remember Jennifer Cooper was one of the actors. Kay, the daughter, was the mother. Kay fled in her hands. And she was crying out for mercy. Donnie Dooney. His heart was doing. Because he'd just been pronounced that he was going to heaven. He will begin to cry. Pastor, sister, get on the floor. And the voice would come out of the night. Just want to come. And I can't help you now. I played the part of a preacher. The man that filmed the life project filmed for National Geographic. I sat on the side of the bed in the night of Donnie Gilpin's home. And I'm deep in thought. Well, I thought all I had to do was love him, and he would take care of the rest. God has done that picture. I don't know if everybody understands why the preacher would have to. You may choose whatever other people are, and you need to run with it. Brother Clinton had come to me one time. And he said, son, talking about the judgment being here. He said, I've lived long enough, you've heard him say, I know you have. I've lived long enough to see that that is prophetic. That is prophetic. I said, all down the line, I'll never be guilty of being that preacher just to go to heaven because you were afraid of it. I've had too many experiences in life to win. The line is rolling. We quoted it this morning. He's not. you fall on that rock, it will break you. And if that rock falls on you, it will crush you. I'm coming near the end. Somewhere down the line, I'm going to get enough holiness to preach on that prophecy. Last Wednesday night, I preached briefly. Today, I preached briefly. Testing each other. Laying in my hands, and I'm quitting. Laying in my hands. I begin to think of the things I've said about preaching on prophets and reading on prophets. God began to deal with me in the scale of the night that He still speaks. He still speaks. He still speaks. And He does perform what He said He's going to do. Go read the 9th, 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And it's a perfect description of the nuclear disaster. Men are being burned. They have souls. What is it? A third of the grass is destroyed. The world is trying to be blood. This God has a practice of becoming a real angel. Right? How many of you are ready from the coming? My message today is to be ready. He will eat a fly